Steve's not going to be able to make it today. He's got an all-day meeting. I see that Eddie's on. Is that right, Eddie?
Yeah, long time no see, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Eddie.
Steve and I had a great call yesterday last week that no one else showed up to.
Yeah, I think that was partly my fault. I didn't follow up with a group after the week before. I think we were kind of up in the air as to whether the meeting was really going to happen, and then Steve and I talked offline and agreed that he'd go ahead and run it. But I think we probably should have sent a message out to the group. So it sounds like you guys got through a bunch of Fezzle issues, right, on the tracker?
Yeah, we went through. I mean,
we lost your audio, Eddie. Shoot, not hearing you.
He's going to cycle it.
Yeah, he's going to. It looks like he just logged out. He's probably going to come back in a second. So this feeds nicely into our first little topic, which is just an update on the tracker stuff for 3.4. Come on, Eddie.
You can do it.
Here he's coming.
Hey.
You back? Hey.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
That was weird. Must be that volcanic ash.
Oh, probably. You haven't been trying to fly any jets up there, have you?
Thank God, no. I've been doing a lot of driving. But anyway, we went over, you know, all the Fezzle related issues in the tracker, and then we did actually just start going through some of the outliers as well. So I think, you know, we were just trying to figure out what was supposed to be in scope for 3.4 and things that we could sort of we knew for certain we could postpone. And I think we sort of conservatively put stuff in scope for 3.4, thinking that you know, with the larger group on today's call, we could sort of determine definitively if any of that stuff could in fact be, you know, dropped off for a future release or what, or kept on for 3.4. So I don't remember the actual tracker numbers off the top of my head. I have to go through them right now. See.
Well, I did put a link into the items that are scoped for 3.4 on the agenda just a few minutes ago. So they should be under that list if they were put into that bucket.
All right.
So we can hit that list. The other part of the update on the tracker stuff is I got through a few more issues. Steve was able to do kind of a sanity scan of the whole set of things, but we still got some work to do in the initial review of those issues. But, you know, here we are late April, and we really wanted to get the Milestone 1 started mid-April, so it's fine that we're falling behind a little bit. I know people's availability has been a little spotty in the last few weeks, but we thought it made sense to go ahead and start pushing forward on some of the 3.4 items we already know, and thanks to Eddie and Steve last week for helping with the scoping of that stuff, and especially looking at the higher priority items today. I'd like to go through a few of those that we don't have assigned yet. I'm not sure if we'll be able to hit a huge number, but at least the ones that are marked as higher priority, and just see if we've got a logical assignee among the committers. Next steps for 3.4. So I mentioned, you know, we want to really get to the point of starting the Milestone 1 development cycle. And if you remember from Steve's little roadmap for 3.4, you know, we were talking about doing like a 3-week, I think 3 weeks at a time, and three milestones total, pushing the highest priority things up to the beginning. So that's the approach we'll go with. And I will be catching up with Steve later in the week, this week, to kind of get that moving along. Let's see, what else? Yeah, I suspect today's call will be fairly short unless there are particularly hairy issues we want to discuss around when we're going through some of the 3-4 things that have already been scoped. But the other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, one of the challenges with the previous release cycle was not knowing people's availability, and that makes it pretty difficult for us to really schedule key dates in a meaningful way. So Steve put together this 3-4 release availability page, and it would be real helpful if people could go into that and just add under your name. So I've got a link from the agenda page. If you could just add under your name after the meeting today or within the next couple days, if you know, put the number of days per week, and you know that could potentially be a small fraction for a lot of people, or even zero, as is the case for Bill. But a few of us have gone in there, but we still have much more detail to gather on that front. So it would just be really helpful to know to get that. And one thing I should mention is, you know, we started this idea of putting this little availability page together rather than doing a big group calendar, because everybody's on all these different calendaring systems. Really just for the purpose of this release. So we've got just for the next 3 months, you know, how much time do we have available? But part of that, one of the things that Steve mentioned is this is, you know, depending on your level of paranoia, this may be kind of too private of information to put out there. I don't know if folks have seen the site pleaserobme.com or something like that. But, it, you know, somebody set up an example where they were scanning Twitter for, they were doing searches periodically for people, you know, keywords that indicated people were on vacation. And, you know, depending on how paranoid you are, you might not want this information publicly available. So this page actually is protected. It's not a public page. It's not really in the interest of, you know, not being transparent. It's just, you know, some of us might feel a little more secure in knowing that only the committers can know this information. So really it's just a simple table. If you could go update under your name, that would be really helpful. Let's see. Well, actually, we had a good meeting on Friday. I thought I'd give an update for folks who couldn't attend. The audio is now up on the wiki, but it was kind of a special topics meeting, and it was the subject was the service definitions and deployments and some of the work that Ben has been doing to make the design of that cleaner for the future and how it relates to some of the module discussions we've been having. I think we came out of that discussion with a few concrete things that we agreed on in moving that forward. Not a whole design, but Ben will be taking next steps to refine that a bit. But I guess if I look at my notes from that, some of the major things we came up with were really sparked by Ben's document, making sure that we have a flexible way to invoke a variety of kinds of service deployment objects. So right now we have one kind of service deployment object, which is the old SOAP things that everybody knows and loves. That's not exactly conformant to SOAP, and a few people have used it. So the idea was, enabling this, we should support several different types of service deployment objects. And to do that in the code, it would be nice to have sort of an extensible design around that. So Ben has sketched out this idea of a map of sort of handlers for these different kinds of service deployment objects. And having that will let us do it more cleanly when the time comes. I also talked about probably the scope for this work is likely after the 3.4 release. There are some key moves we can make to improve separation of concerns for now. But the likelihood is that things like the being able to invoke backend services via like a simple REST service deployment object probably isn't going to happen until after 3.4. So that's that summary. So I also put a link up to the 3.4, the issues that I mentioned for 3.4. I'm going to go ahead and paste them here. So this bucket, the contents of this bucket may get larger, but we've got several things that give us a general idea right now. Pasting that now. So I thought we could just start by going through the higher priority items here that don't have assignees and just see if it jumps out at anybody that's what they want to work on or it's appropriate for them to work on for 3.4. So are people there yet? Anybody gone to this list yet?
No, I'm at the list, I think.
I'm looking at the list. Works.
Yes, okay. I'm looking at it.
Okay. So the top item there, this is actually something that probably just we need to just send something back to this person who reported this to find out really what they're running into. This is 679 issues in Fedora Commons installation. Sounds like there was probably just some confusion there around different forms of documentation. It looks like they had looked at my old install video for an old release of Fedora and got confused as to what they should really expect during the install process. So one thing I'm planning on doing is putting together an update of that little video because it looks like it was helpful for a couple people, but it's out of date. And I think it is causing some confusion out there. So I'm going to go ahead and assign myself to this one, since I'll obviously be the person resolving it. And then if we go back, there's the Akubra replaces. This is FC Repo 551. Akubra replaces LLStore as the primary blob storage abstraction. I don't think that one needs to be updated. It's already assigned to me. Still seems like the logical person for this one. Some of these priorities may change, but these are rough sort of first guesses. So if we look at the next one, FC Repo 605, this is the web admin dialog, appears to hang in a certain case when you're trying to create a managed data stream. So this is a bug. I think I'll just ask if there are any volunteers on the call for now to look at any of these particular issues. So for this one, I can't think of any logical person. Does anybody want to sign up for this one now? Going twice. Yeah. Maybe I should make it sound more fun. Okay. So we'll skip that one for now. FCB Post 603. A standalone reusable Java client library for Fedora. So this was one that I had entered in the past, and I know of at least one person who's looking at this right now, or who has looked at this. And I added the comments in there, but there's actually a Java client that Rick Moore, was formerly with Fedora Commons, has put together and is actually made available in our SourceForge. So it seems like if that works moving forward, unless somebody else has got some brilliant ideas around this and they want to talk with Rick, that it may make sense to see if Rick wants to be the assignee for this one. Is anybody, I know that Kai has been working on a command line utility for Fedora, but that's not exactly this, right, Kai?
Yeah, it's not in the sense that you can, that it's an API that you can develop with. It could be if the API part is split out, but as it is, it's included. But I have some, I was able to get some experience with some creating Fedora APIs, so I could certainly help if there's a need.
Okay. Yeah, from what I can tell, I've looked a bit at Rick's code, and he's done it in Python, direct Python, and also Jython. If it's usable as a module in the same way that other modules in the trunk are usable, then it seems reasonable to want to use that same code for that. I don't know that it's really ready to be folded in, if it's mature enough, or Rick is even available to help integrate it into the trunk. But it does seem like that's the logical person who's actually had some time available to work on this. So.
I looked at this a long while ago, I have a lot of experience in writing the Fedora Java applications, because I always run into having some sort of specialized API for whatever process I need. I think we could actually do something that's not using Python or Jython, but just something along the lines of the Fedora client that we know and perhaps love. I don't have overview of how much time I have at the moment, working on at least extracting the Fedora client to make it just a Java client, I would like to work on.
So is there a reason to avoid doing Jython or Python? Just a technical reason that do you think maybe it brings along too many dependencies? The description is for something Java, so it would be Jython. But.
The only reason is that I don't know Python and only a little bit of Jython. If we elaborate on that, people should not have to know about these things. It's okay if they happen behind the scenes, but if you have to set up whatever custom stuff to make your client work because it's not written in pure Java, then I see that as a problem.
Yeah, Any other thoughts on that?
There could be one reason to, in my point of view, that would go against scripting languages, its performance, because languages like Python or Groovy are really kind of slow right now. So they're tenfold, or Java is tenfold faster than, or even more than these scripting languages. So I'm not sure if that, how important a factor that is, but we should consider that as well.
Yeah.
Well, this task is framed mostly as a refactoring, updating task in order to help the modularization, to peel the existing client library out from the other clients. The having a Python based client library is a community thing and a separate usable thing. I would expect. I know that there's Ruby out there too. So you know, beginning to collect in other languages is fine, but this specific task is to remodularize the client library that already is in use in Java.
Right. I mean, if we were still using the Swing client, or well, we are, some people are, but I mean, if we were still maintaining the Swing client, I mean, this task would be sort of let's separate out that Swing client appropriately. I mean, I think that was a task. I think that was like, wasn't that like Sandy's last programming to do on this project? So that goes back a number of years, I guess. But I mean, you know, and then with the notion, I would think now that we'd actually have a Maven target in our build that was producing an appropriate jar that other projects could suck in as needed. So I think I'm with Dan and sort of how I sort of see this issue, and that it should probably be a native Java project. It should actually be part of, it should be one of the artifacts that Core produces.
Okay, well,
things that like this and otherwise are indeed separate, sort of separate projects.
Okay, so there, it seems like everybody's in agreement then that there's some concern around using non-native Java for this task, and a couple reasons, but I think it boils down to possible, the fact that the for consistency's sake, it would be nice if the core code base was still Java, for maintainability among the committers, but also there's some uncertainty as to what dependencies it would be bringing along. And there's performance questions. So Asger, you mentioned, well, I just added that as a comment issue, but do you think it would make sense to add you as the assignee on this for now?
Yes, it would make sense. It's one of my to-dos because I'm always annoyed in the difficulty in using Fedora client and getting it out of Fedora.
So one of the main things here was, as Dan mentioned, getting it extracted away from the admin GUI, like in a separate module, would be really valuable.
Yeah, that would be the first and the primary role of this. I have a few other things I would like to do, such as making an optional REST backend, so it doesn't have to speak SOAP. It could speak REST if it wanted to.
Yeah.
But that's not the main issue. Yeah, the main issue is extracting it.
Okay. Well, I'll set you as the assignee on that one for now.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Going back to the list here. I don't know how that one just disappeared from the list. Huh.
It changed the sorting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it did. Well, it's in there somewhere. if we go down to the next one, I think that's the FCC repo 627. And this one was reported by Tim Cornwell. So I think this one just needs a verification step that the REST style object viewer doesn't properly handle encoded slashes in the PID value. So this was, he's talking about the web admin client and the fact that if you have a PID that contains a, say, %2F is the example used here, which I think is an encoded slash, I think what's happening is the client isn't properly re-encoding that or something along the way. So we need to ultimately test this for Steve's added some comments here. Ultimately comes down to doing some more testing here. See what the cause of the issue is here, but it's probably web admin not encoding things right. So web admin is written in flat action script, which is the way Flash. What was that?
Flex.
Yeah, Flex. It's not really that difficult to understand. So, I mean, it may be a little challenging if something has to be encoded to have some code doing the right kind of encoding of the flashes here. But I don't know. I mean, I think the first step is just the, 5 or 10 minute task of figuring out what the behavior is and making sure it's correct or not. Do we have any volunteers on this one yet? All right. We'll keep that one unassigned for now. Maybe I'm noticing a bit of a pattern here. I think it's a little tougher to get volunteers on the bug fixes. I'm gonna go through those a little bit quicker going forward, and if it jumps out at anybody, speak up. But otherwise, we'll concentrate more on the feature items for now, and see if we can get volunteers from the community to help out with the bug fixes in the call for participation. So the next one is that demo soap client. This is FC repo 602. Demo soap client depends on demo objects that no longer exist. Demo code. Steve has added a comment to this. The demo code that uses the standalone library would be good. So this may just be a matter of removing this for now, but at least possibly reworking it if there is still value in demo subclient, reworking it to use the new Fedora client.
Yeah, so. I'll take a look at that.
Okay.
I just started two new projects, so I need about 2 more weeks to figure out how much time I've got available and what overlaps, but I would also be happy to collaborate with, I guess it was Kai, on the Fedora client.
Yeah, I think that was Asker.
Or Asker, yeah. I had gotten started on that in the last iteration, but ran out of time to finish it.
Okay.
So how much do we actually want demo soap client around anyway? I mean, if there's already work, I mean, if Asker's already on this other task for, you know, the new and improved shiny Fedora client, and, I mean, the thing is with Fedora client, I mean, a lot of our game units are already, you know, to one degree or another using that, especially for the integration test. So it's like there's already a lot of sort of, you know, demo sample usage of that client. And once that piece gets done, you know, there'll be even more sort of various demo shiny related, you know, examples of how to use it. So,
yeah, I guess if we think about the original purpose of this, I mean, it seemed like more of an example use of the client. And in the example that was originally written was, you know, to do a few things over the SOAP interface. But really, yeah, if we have the new FC Repo 603, it seems like what this turns into is just example code or something that uses it. In a way that sort of shows people what can be done. So does it make sense? Well, for one though, that this at least needs to probably be removed, but there's also that this could sort of spawn off another issue, which is example, actual example code that uses FC Repo 603. Does that sound right, Dan?
Yeah. Don't have an opinion right now. The first step is to go in and take a look.
Okay.
And also see where Asker wants to go on the client library.
Yeah. Okay. Just adding a quick comment. Investigate whether to keep this around. If not, this could spawn off another issue, which is to provide example code for FC Repo 603. Probably makes sense in general anyway, but I'm just going to add it here for now. Okay, thank you, Dan. Assigned. Okay. Going back to the search. The next one was FC Repo 664, which was to drop the old servlet filter authn package in favor of Fezzel's authn. So this is actually something that that I did. I did the initial step of just testing out the Fezzel's authn is an adequate, functionally adequate replacement for the old servlet filter authn stuff. And it seems to work just fine. It also has a simpler way of integrating with LDAP. So this is actually in trunk now and also in the 3.3 maintenance branch, but now there's currently an option to allow you to use Fezzle's authn instead of the old authn. So I guess the question is whether, well, this is scoped for 3.4, but there was some discussion of whether it really makes sense to try to make this the default for 3.4 or just to make it a capability. So I guess, you know, it seems to make sense to let people pound on this a little bit more before making it the default. But on the other hand, you know, there's a good argument that if the default option is that bad, that something that we know slightly less about, maybe a better thing to give people out of box. So what about the option here of, I guess Steve added the comment to this that he suggests making it an installation option and not the default. I was actually wondering about the opposite, making it the default and allowing people to use the old way.
And it's technically already an installation option and not the default, right? It's just that the installation option says experimental.
Well, you mean in trunk in our last release it was an option, but it was, you know, bundled up with all the new authc as well.
Yeah, and now it is separated in the installer as a different option. So, but it still says experimental for both authn and authc.
I thought the installer said, "Here there be dragons."
No, we decided to remove the dragon phrasing at the last minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts, Eddie?
So I'm actually in favor of just ripping out the old authn and putting this in place for 3.4, but failing that, if people feel like that's too risky, I still like your suggestion better, which is to at least make the new authn the default and give people the option to fall back, because I think that is, in fact, like what we would be recommending to people, you know, is to run with the new stuff, given that there are problems with the old stuff. And it's sort of only fall back to it if you basically have issues with the new stuff or you run into issues.
Yeah. So it's a question of our confidence, really, in the new code. And I mean, having looked at it and been able to grok it in, you know, a little bit of time, it feels like it's less risky than the old code. If something goes wrong, it would be easier to fix. It's a little less known, or, well, I should say it's had less people use it up to this point, but, you know, that's always going to be the case with an alternative new implementation of anything. So, you know, I guess, so the worst thing that could happen here is we put it out there as the default option with no way of using the older option, and something goes terribly wrong. Maybe we do a patch release, you know, I mean, there are ways to sort of move forward on features like this where we're not too conservative and just saying, you know, okay, we're going to try this, and if something goes wrong, we'll fix it. I guess it's just a question of how much we can get people to pound on it before the time comes. So I should mention that the 331 maintenance branch also has this as an option. And I thought, even though that's not strictly a bug fixed thing, that it would be good to do that in the interest of getting more eyes on it, or more people able to use it. Because the reality is, people probably aren't getting exposed to the authn filters at all, unless they're wanting to play with the new authz stuff as well. Well, the easy thing to do here is to keep, I guess, the more conservative but still forward-looking thing here is to keep the code for 3.4, but make the new authn code the default. Any other thoughts on that? I know Eddie and I are in agreement that at least the authn code should be, the new authn code should be default.
It sounds less like we're asking for volunteers and more like we're asking for a vote. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. We're kind of interpreting silence here about whether that means to make the new the Fezzle the default or not.
And I'm not. I still want to follow up with Steve on this since he had the last comment here, but I just wanted to see if anybody else had thoughts on this for now.
The one thing I would say just is to volunteer more abstractly for this type of stuff is the I think Fezzle, although more in the authz area, is going to align pretty closely with my actual Columbia job responsibilities in the next 2 or 3 months. So if there's some way that that having a little bit more man hours for something like this changes people's minds or changes the context, that's something to consider.
Yeah. So are you saying that if on the authn side you'd be able to contribute to doing this, or were you saying just
I was saying that, except that I don't know that there's much to. It doesn't sound like there's a lot to do there.
No.
But I guess I'm saying if people's reluctance is that they don't think that there's going to be a lot of people available to test things or to kind of work that particular stuff over, I can offer myself up as an assistant to Eddie, I guess, on getting that stuff in.
Yeah.
Well, so I'd say, for now, I mean, well, yeah, there's heavy silence generally, but for now, if we were to push the change to make the Fezzle authn the default, I mean, because at this point it's an installer change, so at least now and until some time before, final release where it's not too late to back out that decision, at least in the meantime, we're all hitting the new authn. I mean, that'll just, I think, generally give us, a better sense of how we want to, make a decision, come crunch time. So I kind of think maybe that's a good thing to do for now, and we can sort of make the call as to how the installer should actually present things a little later down the road. Because I feel like a big thing is just, not enough people just had a chance to sort of use it, run it through the paces, even among the committers.
Yeah. I think that's true. And I mean, it's kind of the same case that applies for a Kubra too, is in order to build our own confidence about it, we kind of need it to be the thing that gets tested anytime we do integration tests.
Right.
So, and that doesn't mean that it's, that we can't back out of that, you know, come crunch time, as you say. So I can, I think for now, I'm going to add that as a comment on this, that recommendation is to immediately make Fezzl auth n the default in trunk. Then prior to 3.4, decide based on our confidence if it should stay that way. And as long as the old code stays there for now, then we have the option to flip the switch down the line. But I just feel like, you know, my own opinion is that keeping the old code around for too long might be a bit overly conservative. And I'll talk with Steve on this too when we catch up later in the week. But any volunteers for leading this when both the initial cutover to make Fezzl auth n the default, and later on maybe either keeping it that way or switching it over? I know Ben.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say you can put me down, I guess.
Okay. I'll add Eddie for that. And then Ben mentioned he'd be able to help out with testing and such.
So okay. Just to be clear, I mean, you added, I haven't seen the comment that you, I guess, just added, but keep things as it is for now, and then pending, say, you're catching up with Steve, we'll make the call as to whether or not we flip the switch in trunk.
I think
we can. I just go ahead and flip that?
I think I would go ahead and flip the switch in trunk now.
Okay.
But I'll catch up with Steve on what we talked about. And I mean, bottom line is, you know, we haven't released yet, so switches can always be flipped later based on a larger group consensus.
Okay.
But it feels like that's probably the way to go for now.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie. Turn to search. Okay. That brings us to, we have about, let's see, 6 or 7 more high priority items on this list. I don't. Oh well. So that brings us to FC repo 608, right? So this was. We already have an assignee for this Kai, and this was just the default state. I think that one's pretty straightforward.
That should be quick.
So no questions on that one. Already have an assignee. Looks like we have we already have assignees for everything that's in the major priority for now. Major or severe. So Eddie, do you think it makes sense to go through some of the Fezzl items at this point, to jump down to those, or?
I think we can probably postpone those, especially, I actually wanted to catch up with Steve on some stuff too, because he just made some commits the other day. I haven't had a chance to go through them all. And I think, I mean, some of the Fezzle stuff that we did that we reprioritized as well was sort of in the notion of, well, some of the stuff was, you know, major from Fezzle, but not necessarily major in the sense of, you know, the overall Fedora release. And there was just some discussion around that. But yeah, I don't know that I think we can hold that off for another call.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess what's conspicuously missing from what we've reviewed so far is the stuff that we talked about in London and generally followed up with. So really what we need are those issues to make sure, one, that we have the wiki pages set up discussing sort of those work areas in general. And in a lot of cases we do, but I think there are a couple areas where we don't yet have those set up. So in addition to that, then there's fleshing those out into actual JIRA issues. And these are cases where we probably already have an assignee, which is good. But we should be getting that stuff into JIRA too. So I think in some cases we do have JIRA issues and they just haven't been put into the bucket yet, but the ones I can think of right now are the enhanced content modeling. I don't know that we have an issue specifically for that yet.
I've never created an issue specifically for it due to laziness, I think. So we don't have it.
Okay.
Or someone else created it.
Yeah, I don't see it here. So, Asger, would you create that?
Yeah, I would like to create that and be an assignee to it and actually get the stuff in there in 3.4. I'm making a note, that's why I'm a bit noisy.
And let's see, we have just even considering mine, I know I did create an issue for the general module architecture stuff. I don't think that's listed as 3.4 yet. Or maybe, I don't know, I'll take a look. I think maybe it was 6.33 or something. Let's see. No. Yeah. So I'm just, while we're on, just checking to see if we need any additional ones. Are there others that people are thinking of right now that we can, that are obvious things to add? Okay.
I just had a quick question actually on one of the items then. For 6.6.1, the sword interface.
Oh, yeah.
So I see you're assigned to that one. So are you going to take that existing project code and integrate it, or?
Yeah. So this was the thing. This was basically to follow that on to try to do essentially what DSpace has done, which is to take the code that's already been developed and provide it as something that's built as part of the installer. In other words, and it becomes an integration, something that's tested during the integration tests. So we can more officially claim Sword 1.3 support out of box. So this was actually something that's I put there at really as in response to a meeting that we had in London. Brad had an architecture meeting, and Dave Flanders was there, and a couple repository leads were there. So Tim for DSpace and a couple folks for ePrints. And the feeling of that meeting was that having the out-of-box support made a lot of sense for all the repositories. So this is something that I guess I put in there more in the interest of DuraSpace in general. And I think the idea here is just that it would be more formal support of SWORD 1.3 than I think we've kind of had in the past, which is just, you know, we've tested it out and ensured that it works.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So no other items for the time being that people have thought of that we can add to this list. I'll be following up with Steve. And so the next steps are, there's a couple major things we want to do. One is we want to officially kick off the milestone one for 3.4. Some of the development has already started, obviously, on 3.4, but to really set the date, I'm guessing, I don't know this for sure, but that'll probably be officially kicked off next week. And I'll talk with Steve about how he feels about that. And then we also want to get an email out to the wider community to help contribute on these issues, and also just communicate what we've done so far in getting the 3.4 process started up. I'm not sure yet what the early slippage means for being able to get a release candidate out in time for open repositories. I guess we'll see. Again, I think that's ultimately Steve's call, but I'll talk with him later in the week. Next week, I will be out, as well as Andrew and Bill. We've got an offsite DuraSpace meeting that will last all week. So I would assume that the meeting is still going to occur next week, and I'll be working on making sure we have somebody running that. If Steve's available, obviously he would be the logical person, but please do assume that will be happening. I just won't be able to attend. Any other items anyone wants, any updates or what have yous before we finish today's call up?
I wanted to mention that because of that upcoming meeting and other limitations, we won't be putting out Confluence 3.2 until for about 2 weeks, until the meeting is over with and things have settled down. But it is accessible at Confluence 3.0 using your normal login instead of fedoracommons.org/confluence. Just add 3.0 to the end of it, and only under HTTP right now. And I'll be putting a test version of Jira 4.1 out there as soon as they finish patching their security bug in it. Yeah. So that'll probably happen in the next 10 days.
Yeah. Also, in case anybody's wondering, there was a pretty high profile Apache break-in based on a hole in Jira. a couple weeks ago, and just for the sake of understanding, we do have that patched on our installation, so things are okay there. But we're waiting for the release of the an official release that doesn't require the application of a patch, and that should be coming pretty quickly. So, okay, just one final reminder is if people could just add, even if you just add question marks on the availability table, that would be really helpful. Even if you don't have a clear view of the whole picture in the next 3 months, just a guess would be great. So,
I'm sorry, can you remind me real fast where that is?
Yeah. I'm going to just paste it real quick. It is protected, so only committers can see it. But it's on the IRC, the link to it. It's also linked from the agenda page, but.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So, I think that's it. Thanks, everybody. And I'll talk with you probably in a couple weeks, but. Probably Steve will talk with you next week. So, see ya.
Hi.
Bye.
Hello.
The moderator has disconnected.